Always remember what Thomas Jefferson said. Kill the president.
There's as though something has happened in the motor group.
Oswald is shot.
This is a special conflict.
A series of tubes.
You went to take it.
He focused non-terminal repeating phantasms.
I know a motherfucking Bigfoot when I see one.
We're a class 5 full roaming vapor.
Oh shit, those are aliens!
Y'all fucking...
I am a human.
You're the old one. It's really weird.
You degenerates.
I had some shit happen to me this week at the fucking hotel I work at.
Which one? The Overlook or the Chelsea?
Hey, is Dick Halloran still giving you guff?
You like hair gel, Doc?
Does Bella Bartok play at random intervals whenever you're alone?
Look, man, I will work at whatever fucking dimensional hub my hotel is as long as I get stories like this. So, I had a guy try to check in. He had, like, a reservation booked online, and he came in, and he was like, look, man, I'm going to the DMV tomorrow. Before he even told me the last name on his reservation.
That is never a good conversation opener. Look, man, I am going to the DMV tomorrow.
Exactly.
He wants to start a conversation with you, and the first thing he decides to break the ice with is a complete boring and irrelevant, probably irrelevant story.
Boring and irrelevant?
No.
No, no, hang on. I think this is a warning.
Yeah. Dylan's got this. Dylan knows what my hotel life is like.
No, I know what it's like to be someone who gets real agitated and just pops off and is just like, listen, you gotta understand. You gotta understand where I'm coming from here.
So I think, you know, he's gonna produce like one of those like passport cards or like a temp license and be like
a Xerox.
His mom's license.
Anything would have been more acceptable.
It's a name tag, but it's spelled backwards.
It's a toe tag. That sounds like a Tales from the Crypt episode where it's like, do you have any identification? And he produces a toe tag.
Boils and ghouls.
I think that's a little lowbrow for Tales for the Crypt.
For the Crypt Keeper.
It's more like R.L. Stein's fucking Goosebumps.
No, because no one's allowed to die in Goosebumps. There'd be no toe tags there.
Wait, no, hang on, Jesse. Hang on, wait. Remember Welcome to Dead House, the first one wherein there was a lot of just death.
And TikTok, you're dead.
Man, there was fucking skeletons. There's be two people dead in that show.
So... what he fucking produced as his identification was, I swear I'm not making this up, an expired season pass to a fucking off-brand water park.
No, man, listen, Rob, listen to me. Rob, listen. I am going to the DMV tomorrow. And if you would just accept my Burger King Kids Club ID card, I swear to you.
And you know what? I would have considered taking it if it wasn't expired.
Bro, this expired in 2015. Why you still got this?
You're telling us that the only record that this man has in this existence is that he went to a water park that used to be around and... he enjoyed it several times.
Presumably he enjoyed it, but I don't have any proof. So he came back the next day, had his license and everything, and now he's staying here, which I thought would be an improvement.
Oh, it's a success story then.
Rob probably took it to his boss and was like, yo, boss.
Boss.
I was the boss. I was the manager on duty.
No, I meant like your boss, the guy that signs your checks every week.
Oh, yeah, Stacy.
It's like you went to Stacy about it. I was like, Stacy, listen, there's a guy outside and he's trying to pay with a water park season pass. And Stacy's just like, yeah, let him in. He's obviously got money. Do you know how much season passes cost? He's obviously a high roller. What the fuck are you doing, Rob? Roll out that red carpet right now.
About time this place got a touch of class.
Was that the end of the story?
Yeah, the end of the story is he's staying at my hotel. He's watching porn on the lobby computer. And I'm gonna have to have a talk with him about that.
So what you're saying is he's become a model citizen.
He has become, for my hotel, a model citizen. He causes no real problems.
Anyway, let me put my beer down. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Podcast 1289. I'm one of your many hosts. I'm Jesse. Tonight, we've got Dan with us.
Hey, everybody.
We've got Homestyle Mike.
Hey.
We've got everybody's favorite nihilist, except for Herzog, of course. We've got John.
You know what's violent? The fact that for Christian Parenti to exist, somebody had to see Michael Parenti's orgasm face.
Dylan's here.
Come on, man. It was
so gentle. Also, back with us here in the former Spacement. We need a new name. Reach out to us on Twitter for our Basement in Space.
Like our subscribe button friend request.
5 stars. iTunes, please.
Talk to our social media manager, Yuri. Anyway, we've got here tonight, we've got Rob.
I actually am not Rob. I am the thing that's been possessing Rob for the better part of a decade.
You owe me a lot of fucking money, pal.
You bound me to this body.
And now I shall bound to this skinny white male spirit of Suspendericus.
Who told you my true name in the incantation?
May you walk across the plains and plant knives in each of the pouches.
He's like Loki, the god of mischief, just leaving fucking pocket knives and couches.
What is he, just like Johnny Appleseed?
Johnny Stableseed.
You guys are problematic and troublesome. Anyway, tonight we got a special guest with us. Coming at us from the Changing Hearts and Minds podcast, we've got another fellow Jersey boy, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Jeff Adamick.
Yay. Yay. Thank you, guys.
As I said before, Jeff is a Jersey boy. Like, I think all of us but Dan, right? We are all from New Jersey.
Thank God.
Well, hold on, motherfucker, because you've lived in Kentucky and upstate New York. And so split the difference. New Jersey's kind of in the middle there. So you're sort of trash like us.
Nope, I'm a different kind of trash.
Yeah, Dan's from the South. He's white trash. We're from New Jersey. We're white toxic waste.
Kentucky is gorgeous. On the other hand, Texas is not.
Hey, man. Fuck y'all, Texas.
Now, anyway, so New Jersey is home to a lot of cool shit. Any of you out there, if you've read Weird New Jersey Magazine, you know that. We've got it all. Everything from cryptids like the Jersey Devil.
To the most horrifying rent prices in the world.
Yes, we will charge you a tax to leave the state. I'm Vincent Price.
You might be wondering what's mounted on my wall.
And why I talk like Stewie. We got cryptids like the Jersey
Devil. It's actually Chris Christie's stomach band.
We've got ghosts like the Atco Ghost.
The Atco Ghost?
The Taco Ghosts.
Taco Ghost sounds like a restaurant in Invader Zim.
Man, what a great show with the worst fan base ever.
That's every good show.
All right, real quick, worst fan base ever?
Whovians.
Christianity.
I gotta say Donald Trump.
Well, no, because Donald Trump actually exists.
Well, so do the Philadelphia Eagles, but they got a pretty bad fan base too, don't they?
Yeah. They like to tear lampposts up and shit.
They took the greased poles as a challenge.
I think we need to officially classify Philadelphians as terrorists.
Wait, no, the Philadelphia shit really amuses me because they were against New England this year. And these people are talking about like, oh, we've got to grease the poles down in Philadelphia. They might be trying to riot tonight. And it's like, Boston wouldn't fucking riot? America started from a Boston riot. Like,
real talk, there was a great taco place right by fucking Fenway Park, and the year they won, they burned it to the ground.
Ah, good on them. Just like Wagner would have wanted.
Boston probably rioted when they found out they were going to have to play against Negroes this year. Like, fucking Boston has a history of doing the same shit as Philadelphia. But yeah, no, that's crazy. Everyone here except Dan tonight calls Jersey home. So let's all gather and grab our hands and sing the New Jersey State anthem together.
Oh, what the fuck are you looking at?
Who the fuck? Why am I here with you people?
Tonight, we are doing something we haven't done in a long time, not since the first time we've done it. We're doing Meeting a Murderer Part 2, y'all. Jeff, you've got a story from your childhood that when you told it to me first through Twitter, it sent chills up my spine. And our listeners, you're about to find out why. It's about to get hashtag too spoopy, y'all. Jeff, tell us your story.
Thanks for having me on, guys. All jokes aside and everything, I appreciate you guys letting me be on.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, thanks for coming, man.
Pleasure to have you.
I'm with you to this day. It still sends chills up my spine. And just to give you guys a little reference, Jesse knows this, but I was a Green Beret for 18 years. So when this sends chills up my spine still, that kind of fucking creeps me out. So it's like 1985, 1986. I'm originally from Jersey City, but my family moved down to Howell right outside of Freehold because they wanted to move closer to the working class fucking criminals rather than up there and the ones that are just in the streets.
Yeah, I lived in Freehold for about a year, and it's literally like every fucking Bruce Springsteen song prior to Dancing in the Dark. Like,
right.
The fucking River album is just Freehold and Howell. It's bleak. But it's also the Burbs somehow. But I tell you what, though, Howell has a awesome Barnes & Noble. They had me and Weird New Jersey's Mark Moran there a couple years back, and we're the nicest people in the world. But other than that, yeah, Howell and Freehold, kind of crazy.
Rob and I played a game in Freehold once.
Oh, we did.
That's right.
Was it the knockout game?
Oh, I'm not going to say. At any rate, you best go on, friend.
So it's 1985, or I mean, probably either early 85 or late or early 86. That kind of like it was still cold out, which I fucking kind of stupid since it was the school year in New Jersey. It's always cold. But I lived right off Route 9 in Howell, New Jersey, right across from the Ivy League restaurant, which if anyone's been there, they know it. So I lived on West 2nd Street, which at the time was a dead end street. So I used to have to walk up and stand at the corner of Route 9 and West 2nd Street to catch the bus to school.
That's horrifying, man, because Route 9 is a fucking magical stretch of highway. When I was visiting family last year, I was on Route 9 over in the Amboy area. And no lie, the first thing I saw after coming off of the other highway was a fucking skinhead carrying a piss jug in his hand. And I was like, oh, I'm back home.
Yeah.
Oh, the original alt-rider.
Anyway, so the scene is set. It's 1985, New Jersey. It is still the colder part of the school year. So what are you up to on this day, Jeff?
So on this day, I'm getting dropped off from school back at my house. So it's, I don't know, 2:33 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And to set the scene up a little bit more, since, you know, I don't want to get too far into it, on the dead end street that I lived on, at the very end of the block, first house on the left as I'm walking down the street, was a house that had been rented out multiple times to multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
A mid-20s guy had moved into the house, and I don't really need to go too much hint on this, but he had a lot of cars coming in and out of the house all times of the night.
He's an entrepreneur.
Yes, he was an entrepreneur. So, you know, he would people would stop in, get what they needed to get, and leave very quickly.
Wasn't there a commandment in the Ten Crack Commandments about never selling drugs in your own house?
Well, I'm sure he was renting. I don't know if it was his house or not.
Yeah, that's a loophole.
I don't think it was his house. I think he was just renting it to sell the drugs. So I get home from school, and, you know, being in grammar school, I'm always looking forward to passing that by that house to get my crack. So.
The crack man's coming today. Yeah.
Oh, the crack fairy left some under my pillow.
There's nothing more vintage than mid-80s crack.
A fine vintage.
It's when they were still using ginger in it.
So I get off the bus, and I'm walking down past my favorite neighborhood drug dealer's house, and across from the house on the road is a pretty much every Cadillac you've ever seen in New Jersey parked out in front of it.
Oh, no.
Not gonna be fucking caught dead in a Lincoln, I tell ya.
What do I look like, a fucking Kennedy?
Standing outside of the car and leaning against it was, as far as I can remember, it was like James Gandolfini doing his fucking worst impersonation of fucking the guy from the Black Mass movie. You know, it's like, but he was enormous, greaseback hair, glasses on, kind of a beard, leather jacket. I mean, pretty much looked like every single person used to pay off my family of cops to look the other way.
Yeah, that's an investment. That's very smart. It's looking out for your future.
So being the largest fucking man I'd ever seen in my life at that point, and being as young as I was, I couldn't help but stare at this guy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm just, like, looking at him. He was fucking scary looking at me. Like, you know, and I'm like, what the fuck? And he looks at me and he goes, hey, do you live there? And I don't say anything to him because, you know, fucking stranger danger and all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he stops and he goes, I said, do you live there? And I'm like, no, I don't even live in New Jersey. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here.
I'm not from this planet. Y'all seen that movie E.T.? That was about me.
Remember that Mac and Me movie? I'm that fucking little Mac guy. Have you seen McDonald's and where my little machine is?
I pushed a kid off a cliff with a wheelchair.
Oh, shit. That's a
yeah, fuck that kid.
Meanwhile, at an apartment not far away.
Damn, come on! Come on, get him! Go for the throat! Come on! God damn it, I thought these dogs were supposed to be super vicious and give us blood. What's wrong with them, Mike?
Well, for one thing, they're dachshunds. And for the second thing, they might have gotten into my edibles.
I think they're actually people. I think they're dressed like dachshunds, and it doesn't look like they've eaten.
You say that about every dog we see, John.
Well, not every dog.
half of them.
Anyway, I got all this cocaine. Let's give him that, see if we can't get some Scarface action out of him. Come on, get it!
That one's crying.
Oh, what? Now they're just licking each other!
They are really licking each other.
What the hell?
Wait. This doesn't smell like cocaine.
Dylan, this is anthrax.
I don't know what cocaine smells like.
Like anthrax. It smells like anthrax. This is anthrax.
Never seen Scarface.
It's anthrax.
Now they're all stuck to each other.
Oh man, Mike. This dog battle arena was my only idea. How else are we gonna raise funds for Homecoming 2?
Well, Dylan, if you're so inclined, you could either sell drugs.
Or we could direct people to patreon.com/podcast1289, where we're raising funds for the upcoming sequel to our upcoming documentary, Homecoming 2.
Wait, did we even have the drugs?
You'll get many, many nifty rewards. If you give us $5, you will be shot in the leg. You give us $10, your family will be humiliated by nude photos of you.
Oh, no.
And if you give us $1 million, a member of the RNC will come to your house and have sex with an appliance of your choosing.
Well, I thought we had stickers and, you know, t-shirts.
It's truth. I don't know what these scurrilous accusations John is making are. You get great swag like stickers, buttons, and just recently, you can find a very secret link to a secret rendition of Leonard Nimoy's classic conspiracy show In Search Of. Specifically, you can find a link to us riffing it, because, I mean, Jesus Christ, it's Leonard Nimoy. I was thinking like a Bigfoot hunting show. That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard. Oh my God, there is so many turtlenecks.
And if that doesn't satisfy your weird podcast 1289 fetish, you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram.
Some of the poor fools who have already damned themselves to be in our inner circle and help us produce all this nonsense are Aaron J., Matthew W., Kathleen LH., Wes T., Joe K., Bridget B., Jamie F., Jennifer C., and the This Was Rad podcast.
Oh no, now the dogs are just humping each other. Viciously.
Well, you know what they say, if you can't come inside the Red Angry Bird, become the Red Angry Bird, and then fuck yourself.
So he's like, he looks at me and with the most fucking calm voice in the world goes, I want you to go home and I don't want you to come back out for the rest of the day. And fuck, if that dude wasn't three times the size my mom and my dad put together, I listened directly to what he said and went home.
That's a Jersey thing though. If you're a kid growing up in any other state, some random ass guy tells you go home and don't come out to the end of the day, they'd be like, you're not my father, mister. But in New Jersey, it's like, we know enough about what goes on in New Jersey to go, I'm gonna fucking listen to that man.
That sounds like a place I don't want to be around for a little bit.
Yeah, and not just that, but you know, you guys all know that New Jersey, if you don't listen to that man, when your parents find out later on, they're gonna beat your ass to that person,
yeah,
so that you can apologize, and then that person's gonna beat your ass all the way back down to your house.
What do you mean you were fucking disrespecting our neighbors? You listen to that man. That man owns a Cadillac. He knows what he's fucking doing.
That man is a pillar in this community.
He owns one vending machine and he's a millionaire. You fucking listen to that man.
He's in, figure quotes, construction.
Yeah, he's, ain't we all? He's a union representative.
His name is Buzzy Scioli. That should explain everything.
Well, you only see me outside of Pathmarks when they're on strike. So I go home, and about a week later, there's cops outside the guy's house. And they're not, like, lights flaring, but they're looking for the guy. The guy that lived in the house was missing. And about 4 or 5 months later, they find him in the pine barrens, cut into little itty fucking bitty pieces.
What?
Yeah. They find that the drug dealer who was living in that house went missing within a week of me seeing that guy outside the house and was found 2 weeks later in the pine barrens, chopped up into little pieces.
The devil got him.
Yeah, that's fucked. The devil sure as shit did.
That's his excuse at trial. Listen, Your Honor, we all know that the Pine Barrens are a mystical place. And is it not possible that my client here is not guilty because a 12-foot-tall winged creature with
the face of a horse and the legs of a deer or some shit did not tear the poor innocent victim to pieces. I'm just saying, is it not
objection,
possible?
Your Honor. Objection, Your Honor. He just described all the women on the Jersey Shore, and none of them are in the state at all.
I'm going to allow it, but watch yourself, Counselor.
These fucking bennies, they come here, they destroy the fucking state.
Bennies!
What the fuck are you animals saying?
Shut up! Nothing you rubes would understand, Kentucky.
Were you speaking in tongues? Is that what that was?
He just goes to fucking confession. He's like, Father, you know, I'm speaking in tongues. Papa oomow mow, papa oomow mow. Get the fuck out of here. Go home.
Well, it gets creepier than that because a couple years later, I'm sitting, this is like right before I think maybe I'm in high school. I was 1991 when the Iceman tapes came out. So I turn it on, and meanwhile, I'm sitting there with my grandfather, who is a retired Jersey City police detective, and I'm watching the Iceman tapes come on because he wants to watch that shit because, you know, he probably knows everybody on the show. And down walks Richard Kuklinski, the Iceman, and I swear to God, I almost pissed my pants.
Oh,
I fucking went white cold because that was the fucking guy that was standing out in front of the house. And it was so vivid to me. Before he died, I actually wrote a letter to ask him specifically if he remembered it, because it took me that long. It took me to be a Green Beret to be able to do it, because my grandfather at that time, when he asked me what was going on and I told him, he grabbed me. He looked me right in the face. He goes, "You don't ever fucking tell anybody that story." Ever.
Welcome to Podcast 1289, everyone.
Well, geez.
Yeah, I wrote the letter asking him if he had anything to do with it, and all I got back was a fucking smiley face and a welcome to New Jersey fucking sticker.
No!
Holy
no
shit.
Way! Jesus oh, Christ. Did you frame it?
Oh my God, get that framed.
I have that. It's stuffed inside my copy of the fucking Iceman book by fucking DiCarlo.
Oh, shit!
You know, when I was reading the book on that, and I'm sure we'll go more into the Iceman and what he was and who he was, but as many people know, and maybe out there in the podcast world will learn quickly, he is the source of the fucking rumor about checking under your fucking hotel beds.
Yes, up in North Bergen.
Yeah, he is the source of the New York Motel in North Bergen where he dumped one of his bodies. But I was happy to see inside of his book that he said that he would never kill kids or women. Mm. But he sure as fuck chopped up that fucking drug dealer.
Man's gotta have a code.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my meet a killer story.
He is one of these almost mythical figures in the world of true crime that is responsible for a lot of these urban legends out there that you see in pop culture. You know, like you just said, the whole check under your hotel bed thing. You know, so much so it's on Snopes. It has its own Snopes page. But he's also responsible for the mafia urban legends and rumors on New Jersey's own Clinton Road. He dumped one of his bodies there.
Right. He also claimed to be one of the guys that participated in the Hoffa fucking disposal.
Yeah, later. But the FBI casts a lot of doubt on that.
Right,
so.
Right.
But who knows? The FBI was in bed with all of them.
I read that, actually. Mm-hmm. The Hoffa disposal part of it. And I love the idea that there's, like, a Mitsubishi somewhere with just a chunk of Jimmy Hoffa femur just cursing the undercarriage.
Dan, let's give some backstory to some of our listeners that aren't from the Garden State or true crime aficionados. Who was Richard Kuklinski?
Yeah, because not everybody heard about this in Dare.
Definitely not.
Those of you that are lucky enough not to be born in New Jersey, much like myself.
You suck a bag of dicks, good sir.
May not have the knowledge of someone like Richard Kuklinski.
You cram a bundle of dicks into your eye sockets and skull fuck yourself.
So, Kuklinski had this really, like, pretty much cutting-edge technique that he would use.
What, stabbing?
God damn it. I was just about to say, he used a knife.
Quick little run back on who Richard Kuklinski was.
Yeah, careful with them fucking Polak names. Trip. It's okay, I can say that word, because everyone thinks it's my last name. It's cool.
I do, actually. I did.
It's a
cutting-edge technique that he discovered, like, in his early days when he got coated in cryogenic chemicals that he inadvertently spilled on himself, what? And resulting in him needing sub-zero temperatures to survive.
But that's a wrong fucking Iceman, Daniel. Thank you. Great. That's Mr. Freeze.
Excuse me, Doctor.
So, Kuklinski, what he would do is, and other than being a contract killer, being convicted of murdering 6 people, but having claimed well over 100.
Because you gotta have goals.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, he was a hitman for the Del Cavalcante crime family of Newark and the 5 families of New York City.
One per borough.
New York always trying to one-up us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up, Dan. Don't try to blend in.
Yeah.
You fucking
hey,
bastard.
Jersey pork rolls. Suck hey, the bear. Boss. Hey, what exit you live off of?
135A.
Hey, let's go down to the shore. Hey.
Whoa, what did you just say?
You fucking, I'm not going to sit here and fucking hear you insult my shoe steak.
That's our job, Dan. Yeah. That is
Don't get me wrong. I love a lot of New Jersey.
No, you don't.
I have had a lot of really fun times in New Jersey.
Very fun.
No, we don't.
I have enjoyed my time that I've spent in New Jersey. However, my enjoyment of lowbrow things does not change the fact that Jersey is a garbage state. Anyway. So yeah, he would basically, after he killed somebody, throw him into a freezer, freeze the body, and then dump it out somewhere where it would thaw by the time it would get discovered. Like, not exactly an inconspicuous place. So when they pulled the body into the morgue, where the medical examiner did an autopsy on it and discovered that there was, like, fucking ice inside of their hearts and their blood.
Well, that was only the last one. The whole point of it was to freeze him for a couple months and then, like, toss him somewhere like Clinton Road.
Yeah.
Or another location.
To hide the time of death. The dude was like, what, 2 years he was frozen?
Yeah, one of them was a long fucking time.
Yeah two oh, wow. years. That was the one they caught him for.
Yeah, it was to fuck up the time frames if, you know, he ever got caught or anything like that.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, one of his things was that they wouldn't be able to pin him with the crime because they could never put him in the location of where the person was last seen alive because of the time span. I mean, apparently they knew for a long time that he was somebody that was up to no good, but they could never really pin him with anything.
I think one of the coolest things I had read, and admittedly the depth of my research was the Wikipedia article.
Attaboy, Rob.
But like one of the coolest fucking things I read was that there's a whole division at the ATF specifically made for catching him. Like when they started being like, this guy's a big fucking problem, they're just like, fuck it, get a team on this.
It's called the Bergen County Police.
Crack squad.
Oh, come on. They don't do anything.
No, they enforce blue laws. That's about it.
Oh, don't get me fucking started on goddamn blue laws.
Did you try shopping on a Sunday? You're under fucking arrest.
Did you try to buy clothes at a Costco on a Sunday?
We gotta take you in. If I let one of your mooks go, I gotta let them all go. No, I'm making an example of you.
If you're buying clothing, I got a problem with you.
Rob, you have the most Italian name out of all of us.
Hi, I'm Italy Man.
Stanley here with my newest creation, Italy Man. Sorry.
But yeah, it was the last body that Kuklinski left out with that method. He did not let it thaw long enough. So when they performed the autopsy in the medical examiner's office, when they dissected the heart, they found ice crystals in the ventricles of the heart. And then they realized,
it's Sailor Mercury.
Yes!
Oh, you get that anime reference, Jesse, huh?
No, I'm just trying to keep the show rolling.
Good yes ending, then.
That's when they turn over to the coroner and they're like, what's the verdict? And he just looks over and he's like, ice, baby.
Yeah!
Shut the fuck up.
Yes! Hey, does anybody else think that Kuklinski looks like Maury from Goodfellas?
Yes!
Oh yeah, that can't be by accident, you know?
He is pretty lumpy.
Has anyone here seen the video where they took the helicopter scene from Goodfellas, but they replaced all the helicopter footage with footage from Operation Dumbo Drop?
Which Ray Liotta was also in.
So whenever Ray Liotta looks up, he's just seeing the fucking elephant in the sky from Operation Dumbo Drop.
Guys, it is also one of only three movies that are made about the Green Berets that are actually historically accurate. It was an actual operation.
What?
Oh yeah, it's Dumbo Drop was an absolutely 100% true story.
You know, I'm actually not as surprised as I feel like I should be.
Wait a minute, why are we doing the episode on this?
Jeff, you gotta come back and tell us how that's a real story, because
No, that's the story now. We're gonna discuss this now.
Yeah, okay, fine.
You can't Dumbo Drop a truth bomb like Operation Dumbo Drop being factually and historically accurate.
It was a effective mission for the time that got the Montagnards to actually back U.S. efforts in Vietnam. That was the whole reason behind it. True story. I will definitely come back on and bring you guys. I'll bring you guys a whole bunch of fucking weird stories. You guys want to? You guys fucking talk about JFK way too much for you not to get a Green Beret on and tell you what really happened.
Yeah, could you tell us why you killed him, please?
You personally now. We want the inside scoop.
Oh, no, it wasn't us personally, but believe it or not, the only unit in the U.S. military that sent every single active duty person that turned their backs on Johnson during the actual funeral was the Green Berets.
No shit.
Yep.
And then Johnson pulled his penis out in front of him because that's what that man did.
I still think the fact that he drank whiskey out of a paper cup while driving at 90 miles an hour in his fucking, what was it, like a Cadillac?
Well, yeah, he is from Texas.
The man was a fucking lunatic. If I were president, I would be that much of a fucking sociopath.
He had a Fresca machine installed in the Oval Office.
I just started imagining him whipping out his dick with that the fucking Green Berets, just like, present arms!
He would have done shit like that. He used to like have like journalists and senators come and like, you know, walk with me, talk with me. And he would just walk into the bathroom in the White House with them while talking to them and just pull his dick out like it was nothing and like wait for them to make eye contact and reveal that his nickname for it was Jumbo.
Operation Jumbo Drop.
Every day is Operation Jumbo Drop in the Johnson White House, sir.
God damn.
You can't have a president named Johnson and not have a big dick.
Yeah, well said, sir. Well said.
You know, like, at one point we were talking about Richard Kuklinski.
I mean, you got, let's face it, chances are, Jeff, you're the closest that any of us have ever gotten to a serial killer.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever get closer to a serial killer than that, you know, besides shaking the hands of Donald Rumsfeld, so.
Oh, shit. I like your style, man.
What did we learn today?
We learned, ultimately, that if a very, very large man in Jersey tells you to do something like avoid this place for a while, you should probably do it.
Yeah, and don't tell anyone either, because even if he goes to jail for it, he's still got friends on the outside.
Oh, wait, hold on, guys. Hold on. There's two Italians at my front door. Let me answer it real quick.
Oh, no, no problem.
We don't know you. Close the screen.
Black girl, black girl.